Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Radio Show on KNSJ, 89.1 FM, Descanso. The county has approved 150 sleeping cabins in Spring Valley for homeless people, as well as 17 safe RV sites for the homeless in Lakeside, and we'll have details on our show today. Two state legislative races in East County have flipped, with results still too close to call. We'll have the latest results in the 75th and 79th Assembly Districts. The Wall That Heals, a three-quarter-sized replica of the Vietnam Memorial, is coming to El Cajon, and volunteers are needed. Lemon Grove's City Council has become the first in our region to pass a resolution calling for a permanent ceasefire in Gaza, but it wasn't unanimous. Find out why on our show today. And then on Crime Beat, hear about a sexually violent predator approved for release in Campo. The City of Santee is considering building affordable homes and a park near the historic Edgemore Barn. And we've got some thunder going on in the background, so if you're hearing loud noises, that's what it is. In El Cajon, the city is holding a contest called June Bloom, encouraging residents to beautify the city with landscaping, gardens, and plants on patios and balconies. A household hazardous waste and e-waste collection will be held on March 30th at Steel Canyon High School in Spring Valley. Two mountain lions have been killed by vehicles locally this month, highlighting the need for wildlife crossings. On People Power, we'll have news about fundraisers set up to help the family of a dentist killed by a gunman in El Cajon and a young mother who was injured in that same shooting. An elderly woman lost her life in a house fire in El Cajon despite firefighters rushing into a burning building trying to save her. From California News Service, we'll have a report on a grant to upgrade the admissions process for Cal State universities and a report on women over 40 who are likely to vote in California's November election. From Public News Service, we'll have several national news stories, including efforts to bring food into Gaza and Donald Trump's threat of a bloodbath if he does not win, plus former Vice President Mike Pence saying he will not endorse Trump. And then we'll take you on the road to Borrego Springs with tips on how to view wildflowers during this spring's super bloom season in the Anza Borrego Desert. We'll tell you about pet adoption specials through the Humane Society and have a health alert on a rise in tuberculosis or TB cases locally. La Mesa's City Council has voted to end remote public comments after a barrage of anti-Semitic hate speech, a decision that has sparked controversy. SDG&E reminds the public to call Dig Alert before digging deep in your yard to avoid hitting gas lines. The Lemon Grove Sheriff's Substation has been impacted by flooding and remains closed. Bilingual students at San Diego State University are going south of the border for their studies, and we'll tell you why on today's show. And finally, the county has delayed the property tax filing for victims of those January floods. So stay tuned for today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show, where East County matters. In an effort to address the homelessness crisis, supervisors have voted to spend $18.5 million on 150 sleeping cabins for the homeless in Spring Valley. That's at the corner of Hammershaw Road and State Route 125. Supervisor Joel Anderson was absent due to a medical condition. The action follows extensive community engagement, and the site will allow for more centralized services to be provided for vulnerable populations. The land belongs to the California Department of Transportation and may be leased for 7 years at $1 a year with a $5,000 administration fee. Of the $18.5 million in construction costs, about $10 million is proposed to come from the Governor's Sleeping Cabin effort and another $8.5 million from the American Rescue Plan Act. Supervisors also approved construction of 17 safe RV parking sites in Lakeside at the intersection of Willow Road and Ashford Street. The cost of about $4.9 million will be financed by the American Rescue Plan, or ARPA, funding. The site is anticipated to serve 85 individuals annually. According to the point-in-time count last year, East County had over 1,700 homeless people, including 528 who were unsheltered. East County has 17% of the countywide homeless population.
The 79th Assembly District race is still too close to call. While La Mesa councilman Colin Parent is still solidly in first place with 39.65% of the vote, or more than 21,000 votes, educator Lachey Sharp Collins has overtaken Lemon Grove Mayor Raquel Vasquez to move into second place. Currently, Sharp Collins has 30.27%, while Vasquez has 30.8%. Sharp Collins leads Vasquez by just 103 votes. There are 10,000 votes left to count countywide, though it is not clear how many are in the 79th Assembly District. The top two finishers will advance to the general election in November. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is John Tidwell.
A key race in East County has flipped since election night. In the 75th Assembly District, two Republicans are now in the first and second place positions, poised to run off in November if these numbers hold. Conservative firebrand Carl DeMaio, founder of Reform California, remains solidly in first place with 43% of the votes cast and more than 52,000 votes. But now, Andrew Hayes, also a Republican, has surpassed Democrat Kevin Juza, each with more than 22,000 votes. Hayes, a Lakeside School Board member and longtime aide to Senator Brian Jones and Supervisor Joel Anderson, has 18.6% of the votes, while Juza, a business consultant endorsed by the Democratic Party, has 18.2%. Several lesser-known candidates trail far behind, each with single-digit percentages, but only 556 votes separate Hayes and Juza, making this race still too close to call. Close to Election Day, news broke that DeMaio's campaign paid for some mailers and even a website urging voters to support Juza, since DeMaio doesn't want to square off against a popular Republican in this heavily Republican district. But the dirty trick may have backfired, with early ballots favoring DeMaio and Juza, but many ballots cast by later voters shifting to support to Hayes. Countywide,
10,000 votes
remain to be counted, but it's unknown how many are in this district. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Danita Ramirez.
The Wall That Heals, a three-quarter-sized replica of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C., is coming to El Cajon. The wall, along with mobile educator centers, will be at Wells Park. It will be open to the public 24 hours a day, starting at 10 a.m. on Thursday, March 21st, until 2 p.m. on Sunday, March 24th. According to the project's website, the goal of the Wall That Heals is to help educate the future generations about the Vietnam War, so no one serving our country will ever again be mistreated the way the Vietnam vets were. As anti-war protests against the Vietnam War grew across the U.S., many returning veterans were greeted with hostility, even those who were drafted. Since then, attitudes have evolved to encourage people to respect the warriors who risked their lives in serving our nation, even if people opposed the war, which they fought. The Vietnam Memorial, a black granite slab containing the names of all 58,318 Americans who were killed in the Vietnam War, has a powerful and emotional impact on the visitors. It also commemorates those who are missing in action. Volunteers are needed and donors are sought. For more information, you can visit www.thewallelcajon.com. One more time, that's www.thewallelcajon.com. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Aravon Ali.
Lemon Grove has become the first city in San Diego County to pass a resolution calling for an immediate and permanent ceasefire in Gaza. The resolution also calls for a peaceful resolution to the conflict and humanitarian crisis affecting Gaza and Israel. Activists from Borderlands for Equity, a civil rights group, came before the city council in February asking the council to agendize a ceasefire in Gaza. Council members Allison Snow and Jennifer Mendoza drafted the resolution and brought it to the council on March 5th. Some opponents argued that the city should not take a position on the international issue, but Mendoza said, "We have a very diverse community here in Lemon Grove and East County. If not now, when?" Councilmember Snow said she got into politics after watching George Floyd crying out for his mother before dying at the hands of police in Minneapolis. Snow said, "That was a call out to all the moms in the community. We can't watch other kids be slaughtered. It's not enough to stand still and sit by. We have to stand up." According to the city clerk, Lemon Grove received over 823 emails opposed to passing the ceasefire resolution and 78 in favor. Nearly all of the emails in opposition were
form letters.
They argued that a ceasefire would be divisive in Lemon Grove. Opponents also noted that the Jewish community has seen a 400% rise in anti-Semitism and hate crimes recently, which might be fueled by a resolution. In addition, those opposed felt that a permanent ceasefire would mean leaving hostages taken by Hamas to die. The conflict stems from the October 7th attack by Hamas, which slaughtered over 1,300 Israeli civilians and took hundreds of hostages. Hamas claims it has since fired 5,000 rockets into Israel, continuing to put Israeli lives at risk. Israel's military actions to destroy Hamas, however, have resulted in over 30,000 deaths in Gaza, mostly civilians, including children. Each side has accused the other of war crimes. The situation is complex, since Hamas hides in civilian locations, including hospitals, but around the world, calls for a ceasefire are growing as the death toll mounts while food and medical supplies run low. The Biden administration has launched airdrops to bring food to trapped Gazans since Egypt has closed its borders to refugees. President Biden has ordered the U.S. military to build a pier on an emergency basis to bring in humanitarian relief supplies. The crowd at the Lemon Grove Council hearing was full of residents and neighboring community members from all over San Diego. They shared personal stories of the bloodshed, despair, and hunger some of their family members are experiencing in Gaza. Commenters include multiple faiths and ethnicities. Bobby Wallace, a Barona trial member, told the council that as a Native American whose tribal nation was once reduced to only 700 people, he can relate to the suffering in Gaza. He said, "I can feel it in my heart, what all of these people are going through." Megan Afshan, founder of Borderlands for Equity, decried the 150 days since the war began, stating, "150 days of watching in real time on social media as innocent women and children are being bombarded and driven out of their homes," adding that many are now facing starvation. Mayor Raquel Vasquez voiced concern with wording in the resolution that said, "Many of our community members have suffered from an alarming rise in anti-Semitism and Islamophobia." She asked Lieutenant Barry of the Sheriff's Department how many reports of anti-Semitic or Islamophobic hate crimes have been reported in the last year, as well as hate crimes against other minorities. He replied that in the last year, there is only one case involving a mentally challenged man. Tensions in the audience rose and someone shouted, "You're asking a white cop. Ask another police officer." Vasquez noted speakers in support, only 20 were residents of Lemon Grove, which she felt should be the council's priority. More shouting came from the audience, including a speaker who said, "My prayer house is right here in Lemon Grove, ma'am. I pray here." Snow noted, "We have at least two mosques in Lemon Grove," adding that nationwide, there is a 700% rise in Islamophobia and a 400% rise in anti-Semitism, which can permeate a community even if actual hate crimes don't occur. Vasquez made the recommendation to change the resolution's language from "community members" to "our nation" because this does not speak to the character of the city. Mendoza responded to the mayor, who is black, by stating, "I think it does apply to Lemon Grove. You yourself have suffered extensive prejudice. Your tires were slashed." Before allowing the vote, Mayor Vasquez made clear, "Our city has faced significant challenges with the recent storms, extensive damage to our infrastructure, streets, property, and storm drains. It is imperative that we devote our efforts to addressing these urgent local concerns, ensuring the safety of our residents." Councilmember Liana LeBaron reiterated her past request to put storm drain upgrades on a future council agenda, but none of her colleagues would second that motion, despite severe recent flooding. LeBaron then announced her support for the ceasefire measure. The resolution passed 3-0, with Mayor Vasquez abstaining and Councilman George Gastil absent while recovering from heart surgery. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Danita Ramirez.
This is East County Magazine's Crime Beat. on the streets, reporting on crimes impacting communities across our region, helping to keep you safe and informed.
Deputies with the Sheriff's Safe Task Force went door to door in Campo last week to advise residents that Alan Earl James, a registered sexually violent predator, or SVP, will be released into their neighborhood on Custer Road. James had multiple felony convictions, including several counts of child molesting and kidnapping dating back to 1981. He served several years in state prison for his crimes before his civil commitment to a state mental hospital for sex offenders. Early this year, the Superior Court approved a request by the Department of State Hospitals to release James under the Conditional Release Program. The Sheriff's Department, Safe Task Force, and District Attorney are not responsible for placement of SVPs. Elected officials representing East County have long objected to the unfairness of placing far more SVPs in rural East County communities than in urban San Diego, North County, or South County communities. Senator Brian Jones previously introduced legislation to require equal placement of SVPs in all supervisorial districts, but the measure failed to win passage. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is John Tidwell.
This is KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, bringing you public interest news from San Diego's East County.
Santee is hoping to strike a deal with San Diego County to create a new park surrounding the historic Edgemoor Barn, as well as much-needed affordable housing. At its most recent meeting on February 28th, the City Council approved a resolution supporting a collaborative effort between the city and county for a plan on some 21 acres on the site, which also next to the Las Colinas Women's Detention Center. Santee Councilman Ron Hall, who brought the plan to the full council, said he first proposed the concept to several county supervisors in 2020, but it was only recently that Supervisor Joel Anderson, who represents East County, indicated the plan might be acceptable to the entire five-person Board of Supervisors. "It's taken about 4 years, but they're finally listening," he said. Councilman Ron Hall said the point of the proposal is to come up with something the community can benefit from. Otherwise, the county could opt to do whatever it wants with the property. He hopes to see the site include a mix of condominiums for sale and units for rent. Mayor John Minto expressed optimism for the plan, adding, "The key thing is to strive to do everything possible so the land surrounding the Edgemoor Barn is designated as a park." Members of the Santee Historical Society also support the concept. Once the county agrees to the plan, it would open up potential grant funds from the government and nonprofit sources to improve the old barn, which was built in 1913 and registered on the National Register of Historic Places in 1986. The land that now houses the barn and the jail was once a working dairy farm, then a polo pony ranch, and an early tourist attraction. San Diego County purchased the property in 1923 and established parts of it as a home for the aged and indigent. The Edgemoor Barn is currently a museum that houses the Santee Historical Society. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Danita Ramirez.
A free press is the foundation of our democracy. KNSJ Radio is dedicated to providing nonprofit news in the public interest, not special interests. We rely on your support to continue bringing you important stories from San Diego and East County that you won't hear anywhere else. Please make a generous donation at knsj.org to sustain KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice.
Now it's time for the Green Scene Report, highlighting energy, environmental, and sustainability issues in our community.
This is John Tidwell with a Green Scene Report. The City of El Cajon is hosting a June Bloom competition to inspire and reward the creation of green spaces across the city's urban landscape. This initiative in partnership with Armstrong Garden Centers, aims to engage citizens and businesses in fostering a greener, more vibrant city. The June Bloom competition invites all residents and business owners in El Cajon to participate in transforming the community through the power of gardening. By enhancing front yards, balconies, storefronts, and community spaces with lush plants and creative landscaping, participants will not only contribute to the beautification of the city, but also have the chance to win thousands of dollars in prizes. Chris Berg, marketing manager for El Cajon, says, "We believe that green spaces are essential for the well-being of our community. This competition is more than just about planting flowers and trees. It's about coming together as a community to create a sustainable and beautiful environment for all to enjoy." With the promotional support of Armstrong Garden Centers, participants will have access to high-quality plants, expert gardening advice, and the necessary resources to bring their green visions to life. Contestants are encouraged to register and submit their entries by May 1st. A panel of esteemed judges, including local horticulturists, community leaders, and representatives from Armstrong Garden Centers, will evaluate the entries based on creativity, use of space, and overall impact. The winners of the June Bloom competition will be announced at a special ceremony in July, where the most exceptional green spaces will be celebrated for their contribution to El Cajon's environmental and aesthetic enhancement. To learn more about the June Bloom competition, including registration details, guidelines, and prize information, please visit elcajon.gov/June Bloom.
I Love a Clean San Diego announces an upcoming household hazardous and electronic waste collection event organized by the county for unincorporated residents. The event will be held Saturday, March 30th from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Steel Canyon High School in Spring Valley. This event provides an opportunity for you to safely dispose of hazardous materials and electronic waste from your household. Household hazardous wastes are unused or leftover products containing toxic chemicals that are commonly used at home. These products are labeled with terms such as caution, warning, danger, poison, toxic, flammable, or corrosive. It's illegal to dispose of hazardous waste in regular trash or recycling bins. Proper disposal is crucial to protect our environment and our community. Electronic waste, or e-waste, includes computers, monitors, TVs, and other electronic devices. Bringing these to the event will keep items out of landfills and assure that they are recycled properly. For more information and guidelines, you can visit wastefreesd.org. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
Two mountain lions have been struck and killed by vehicles on local roadways so far this month. On March 1st, in Crest, a mountain lion was hit by a car in the early morning hours at the junction of Dehesa Road and Sloan Canyon Road. Gloria Chadwick, a member of the Grossmont Healthcare District Board of Directors, says her husband saw the dead lion along with other motorists who pulled over. After federal wildlife officials removed the animal, Chadwick says, "Someone has set up a little monument." She adds that the big cats have long been present in the Dehesa area and that this one has been seen by many people walking in the community. On March 10th, a young male mountain lion, or cougar, was killed by a car in Oceanside near North River Road and Wilshire, NBC7 reports. It is not yet known if the lion killed was the same one spotted in recent days in downtown Oceanside, trotting through the parking lot at City Hall and other areas, according to the California Fish and Wildlife Service. Vehicles pose major threats to the big cats. According to a study by the University of California, Davis, 535 mountain lions were killed by vehicles on California highways between 2015 and 2022. There are ways to reduce such deaths. Governor Gavin Newsom signed legislation in 2022 that requires the state to identify locations where barriers such as freeways prevent them from moving freely. The new law also requires the state to prioritize building crossings to allow mountain lions and other wild animals such as deer, elk, and bears to cross safely. The world's largest wildlife crossing is under construction in Los Angeles County in Agoura over Highway 101 and is expected to be completed next year. The action there comes after the highway death of the famous Hollywood Hills mountain lion known as P-22. Additional crossings are anticipated in California in the future to help save lives of lions and other wildlife. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Danita Ramirez.
This is East County Magazine's People Power, profiling local people making a positive difference in our community and our world.
Mireille Cordido, mother of a 9-month-year-old baby, was one of the two people injured when a gunman opened fire on February 29th at the Smile Plus Dentistry and Orthodontics Clinic in El Cajon, where she works as an administrative assistant. The shooter, a former patient, also killed Dr. Benjamin Howdy. The young mother was shot 5 times in the legs and has been hospitalized in stable condition. Yurel Carlillo's family has started a fundraiser on GoFundMe to help cover her medical bills and ensure the well-being of her baby boy. Organizer Edgar Hernandez says, "Together we can make a difference and bring hope and healing to Yureli and her family." Jake Haruni has set up a separate GoFundMe page to assist the family of his brother, the slain dentist Benjamin Howney. In addition, he announced, "We are organizing a charity, Hearts Over Hate, to support families affected by violent crimes, offering them much-needed counseling and support, particularly for those who lack the resources to access these services." Jake Haruni adds, "The family's long-term vision to foster peace by educating young people and nurturing environments of love and kindness, in hopes of preventing such tragedies in the future." The shooter, Mohammed Abdul Karim, has been charged with the murder of Dr. Howney, who is Jewish, and with 2 counts of attempted murder for shooting Yurel Cordillo, and an office manager whose name has not yet been publicized. He has pled not guilty. The FBI and El Cajon police are investigating, and El Cajon Mayor Bill Wills says that hate crime charges have not been ruled out. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Zaravan Ali.
An elderly woman died in an early morning fire on March 15th at her home in the 1700 block of North 1st Street in unincorporated El Cajon. Deputies from the Lakeside Sheriff's Substation, along with the San Miguel, Lakeside, Santee, and Heartland Fire Departments, all responded to the location after getting a call about 1 a.m. Units arrived within minutes and found the home fully engulfed in flames. 4 residents escaped the blaze and advised firefighters that an elderly woman might still be inside. Firefighters entered the burning home to search for the woman, who was found in a bedroom severely burned and was pronounced dead at the scene. Detectives from the Sheriff's Bomb Arson Unit were called to the scene to investigate the origin and cause of the fire, which was determined to have started in the bedroom where the victim was found. Detective Dan Wilson says the cause of the fire is still under investigation, however, it does not appear to be suspicious. The identity of the victim has not yet been released. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
In the next few years, big changes are coming to the Cal State University admissions process, thanks to a $750,000 grant from Lumina Foundation's Great Admissions Redesign Challenge. Phase 1 will upgrade the site californiacolleges.edu so 9th, 10th, and 11th graders can align their schedules with the Cal State and University of California A through G requirements. April Grammo with Cal State says right now, nearly half of students don't take the right classes to qualify.
Only about 52% of students across the state are completing A through G, and in some counties, it's only about 15% of students.
The grant will also allow Cal State to reach out to 12th graders to let them know which of the 23 campuses they already qualify to attend and invite them to apply for admission to the more selective schools such as Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, San Diego State, and Cal State Long Beach. Melanie Heath with Lumina Foundation notes the grant will also allow Cal State to automate the process of getting students' final high school transcripts so kids will no longer have to request them and pay for them to be sent.
For the Cal State system at that scale to be able to have the transcripts sent for free, automatically sent through this portal that students have been accessing since 9th grade, is an incredible innovation.
Cal State hopes to have the changes in place by the end of next year. Support for this reporting was provided by Lumina Foundation. For California News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org. Nearly 80% of California women age 40 and older say they're highly motivated to vote, according to a new survey from AARP. Researchers for the new She's the Difference California survey polled 1,600 women and found many are highly concerned about political divisions. AARP's senior research advisor Kate Bridges says older women are an influential voting bloc.
Not only are they sizable in number, but they consistently vote. In the 2022 election, they cast a third of the ballots while only making up about a quarter of the full electorate.
Survey respondents' top issues in order are threats to democracy, voting rights, jobs, education, political division, and inflation. Also of high importance are gun violence, election security, crime, housing costs, abortion, racism, immigration, and climate change. Lucia Del Pupo with the polling firm FM3 Research said almost half of women say they are less financially secure than they expected to be at this age, and they want elected officials to focus on protecting Medicare and lowering the cost of living.
Things that were most helpful were lowering the cost of food, protecting Social Security, lowering the cost of utilities, decreasing taxes, and lowering the cost of healthcare.
The survey also found that if the elections were held now, 53% of respondents would favor Democrats, 29% prefer Republicans, 4% would go with another party, and 13% are undecided. 92% say a candidate's values are the most important criteria when deciding on who gets their vote. For California News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, bringing you public interest news for San Diego's inland region. Now, stay tuned for part two of the East County Magazine radio show.
We'll have some national news headlines from Public News Service, and then we'll be back with more local news from East County Magazine.
Welcome to 2024 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
It's the first time that anybody is going to be trying to arrive to the shores of Gaza in years because it's been a Navy blockade.
World Central Kitchen chef Jose Andres is leading distribution of 200 tons of food in Gaza this week, the first aid brought in by ship in a decade and a half. Andres is calling for a ceasefire and encouraging Israel to let more food in. Former President Donald Trump spoke to supporters in Ohio and continues to use violent and authoritarian rhetoric. He warned of a, quote, bloodbath, unquote, if he's not reelected, and said undocumented immigrants are not people.
If you call them people, I don't know if you call them people. In some cases, they're not people, in my opinion.
A recent Gallup poll suggests immigration has replaced the economy and inflation as a top issue. Former Vice President Mike Pence says he won't endorse Trump despite being proud of what they accomplished.
Said during my presidential campaign, I made it clear that there were profound differences between me and President Trump on a range of issues. And not just our difference on my constitutional duties that I exercised on January the 6th.
Trump continues to praise January 6th rioters, some of whom chanted "Hang Mike Pence" when it became clear that the then vice president would certify Joe Biden's victory. California Democratic Congressman Robert Garcia says it's shameful that Trump is referring to January 6th insurrectionists as hostages. He's calling on Republicans to stand up to the former president.
Quite frankly, they're cowardly. They need to come out and take Donald Trump on for, in my opinion, the traitor that he is.
A new analysis by Carbon Brief projects that a second Trump administration would allow 4 billion tons of added climate pollution. Simon Evans is the report's co-author.
That amount of extra emissions, 4 billion tons of greenhouse gas emissions by 2030, that would cause global climate damages worth something like $900 billion.
Trump has repeatedly claimed climate change is a hoax and says he would boost oil drilling to maintain American energy dominance. The report says a second Biden administration would cut emissions but still miss a 2030 target. Vice President Kamala Harris hosted rapper Fat Joe at the White House. They discussed marijuana reform and she encouraged the DEA to reschedule it as a less dangerous drug.
Nobody should have to go to jail for smoking weed. And what we need to do is recognize that far too many people have been sent to jail for simple marijuana possession.
Meanwhile, according to the National Conference of State Legislatures, since 2020, 14 states, red and blue, often responding to specific threats, have passed laws to protect election workers. And finally, voting rights advocates say they're preparing for a challenging election. Cecilia Wang is deputy legal director for the ACLU.
We have our rapid response plans in battleground states to contend with any barriers that voters might encounter.
I'm Alex Gonzalez for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice.
We're on the road in East County, visiting some amazing towns and meeting some incredible people across our region. Welcome to another adventure on East County Magazine's On the Road.
This is Miriam Raftery taking you on the road to the Anza Borrego Desert. Those heavy winter rains have resulted in one of the most beautiful bloom seasons in recent memory in Borrego Springs and Anza Borrego Desert State Park. Many of the most spectacular wildflower fields are outside the park on the outskirts of Borrego Springs, such as fields bursting with purple verbena, white primroses, and yellow sunflowers along Henderson Canyon Road. The prime flower viewing locations change with the seasons, starting at lower elevations and moving up to higher ones in the state park as the weather warms up. Prime flower viewing season runs through March into early April. If you go, here are some tips for a delightful visit. Call the Borrego Wildflower Hotline, that's 760-767-4684, for information on current bloom locations. You can also visit the Anza Borrego Desert Natural History Association's Desert Nature Center in the heart of Borrego Springs to pick up maps of flower fields and more, or stop by the Anza Borrego State Park store in town for any needed information or to purchase park maps. You can also visit the Anza Borrego Desert State Park Visitor Center, which does have a parking fee, but also has many interesting exhibits. The Anza Borrego Foundation also has information on wildflowers, activities in the area, and more on their website. Be sure to check the weather report before your trip, since roads into Borrego are steep and winding in places, best avoided in heavy rain or high wind. Early mornings and evenings on sunny days provide the best lighting for photography. Carry plenty of water, wear sunscreen to protect yourself from desert heat, and a hat. Wear lightweight clothing and sturdy shoes. Watch where you're walking when traipsing through those beautiful flower fields and avoid burrows or holes which may be home to sidewinder rattlesnakes. You can also sign up for wildflower walks hosted by the Anza Borrego Desert Foundation and the Botany Society, which right now are going on each Friday and Saturday in March from 9 a.m. to noon. To register, visit theabf.org or call 760-767-0446. Enjoy the magical mystique of Borrego's desert wildflowers, but be sure to leave them undisturbed for others to enjoy.
Welcome to East County Magazine's Destination East County, bringing you all of the top festivals, events, and attractions across East County each week.
This is Miriam Raftery with this week's Destination East County. It's a beautiful season to get outside and enjoy East County. This week's Destination East County includes desert wildflower walks, Easter egg hunts in El Cajon and at Lake Jennings, daffodil days in Julian, a star party at Mission Trails, La Mesa's Earth Day Fair, Cajon Classic Cruises, the Ramona Open Studios Art Tour, and a Lyle Lovett concert at the Magnolia. It's a super bloom season in Anza Borrego Desert, where valley floors are bursting with colorful blooms. The Anza Borrego Foundation and Botany Society will lead wildflower walks every Friday and Saturday for the rest of March from 9 a.m. to noon. Meet at the ABF store on Palm Canyon Drive wearing comfortable shoes, a hat, sunscreen, and carry water. For details, you can visit theabf.org. Country music singer and songwriter Lyle Lovett will perform live in concert at the Magnolia Theater in El Cajon on March 24th at 7 p.m. Lovett has won 4 Grammy Awards, including Best Country Vocal Performance and Best Country Album. He's recorded 13 albums and released 25 singles, including the hit song Cowboy Man. For tickets, you can visit MagnoliaSanDiego.com. Spring into the weekend at the Lake Jennings Campground March 29th through 31st, where you can meet the Easter Bunny, follow the bunny trail, hunt for Easter eggs, play games, and enjoy springtime crafts as well as hiking and camping. This popular annual event does sell out, so you can reserve space by calling 619-390-1623 or visit lakejennings.org. The German-American Societies invite you to an Easter brunch, followed by an egg hunt with hundreds of colorful eggs for children to find. This event will be held at the group's headquarters on Mollison Avenue in El Cajon. Brunch will be served from 9 to 11 a.m., with the egg hunt from 11 to 12. There are modest fees for the brunch and egg hunt at this event. The clubhouse bar will also be open with cocktails, mimosas, and German beer for adults, and everyone is welcome. Julian Farm and Orchard invites you to enjoy Daffodil Days every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. now through April 14th or whenever the beautiful yellow blooms are gone. The farm offers you picked daffodils as well as other farm activities, including a petting zoo, tractor-pulled hayride, axe-throwing lessons, rock climbing wall, and a gift shop with locally crafted items as well as potted daffodils for sale. Get more information at julianfarmandorchard.com. Mission Trails Regional Park and the San Diego Astronomy Association invite you to a star party on the first Friday of each month, starting at sunset at the Kumeyaay Lake Campground parking lot. The next star party is on April 5th. Telescopes will be available to view the nighttime sky, including stars, planets, and constellations, weather permitting. Find more information at Mission Trails Regional Park website at mtrp.org. Cajon Classic Cruises opens their season Wednesday night, April 12th, with a full street closure for the car shows at Main and Magnolia, along with plenty of fun, food, and entertainment for the family. Cajon Classic Cruises will continue all summer long every Wednesday night from 5 to 7 p.m. April 19th will be Girls' Night Out, and on April 26th, Cajon Classic Cruises will be celebrating the event's 20th anniversary. You can get a full schedule of events at downtownelcajon.com. On Saturday and Sunday, April 13th and 14th, the Ramona Chamber of Commerce will present the annual Ramona Open Studios Tour. You will have a unique opportunity to visit with Ramona artists in their private studios while viewing their works. This self-guided tour will meander through Ramona, allowing visitors to explore at their own pace from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Participating artists are showing a variety of artistic expressions, including painting, ceramics, jewelry, sculptures, fused glass, and woodworking, all available for purchase. For tickets, you can visit ramonachamber.com. The City of La Mesa is inviting residents and visitors to join its family-friendly Earth Day Fair on Saturday, April 20th at MacArthur Park. The festival is a celebration of the city's commitment to environmental stewardship and a showcase of local businesses offering eco-friendly products and services. The festival will run from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. and feature a variety of activities for all ages and interests. That's all for this week. We'll be back next week with more festivals, events, and attractions in San Diego's East County.
This is a public service announcement from the County of San Diego. No matter if they're a Siberian Husky, a German Shepherd, a Chihuahua, a Russian Blue, or a Siamese Cat, everyone's Irish at the San Diego County Animal Shelter during the month of March. Of the pets in shelter care, over 40% of the dogs and cats have been waiting for the forever home for over 30 days. So the county's animal shelter wants the public to help change their luck by adopting or fostering an animal. An adoption special spreads the luck of the Irish all month long. Adoption fees are waived for pets who have been at the shelter for 30 days or longer, pets who are aged 8 years or older, and people aged 60 or older who want to adopt a pet. You can view the animals available for adoption on San Diego Animal Services website during walk-in hours from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. at their shelters in Bostonia and Carlsbad. Adoptions are on a first-come, first-served basis. If you're not sure, considering fostering a pet to see if it's a good fit, or just give him or her a break from the shelter environment. Pets benefit tremendously from being in an at-home environment, learning how to be a part of the family. All basic care supplies such as food, leash, bedding are included in the program. For more information on fostering animals, pet food donations, or volunteering for the shelter, call 619-767-2675 or visit sddac.com.
This is KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, bringing you public interest news from San Diego's East County.
This is Danita Ramirez with a health report. County public health officials report a 17% increase in active cases of tuberculosis, or TB, cases in San Diego County. Last year, 243 cases were reported. TB is a disease passed through the air from person to person when someone who is sick with TB coughs, speaks, sings, or breathes. Over 175,000 people in San Diego County are believed to have latent TB infection, and most do not know it. Without preventative treatment, as many as 10% of people with latent TB infection may go on to get sick with active, contagious TB disease. County supervisors approved an initiative in 2020 to end TB in San Diego. Through collaboration with 25 public-private partnerships, the initiative works to promote TB prevention prevention through screening, testing, and treatment, particularly for those most at risk of TB. To expand the efforts of this work, the county is hosting the San Diego TB Prevention, Education, and Community Engagement Summit at the Southeastern Live Well Center on March 22nd. Medical professionals and healthcare organizations are encouraged to attend and participate. Symptoms of TB could include lasting cough, fever, night sweats, and unexplained weight loss. Dr. Wilma Wooten, the county's public health officer, says, "If you or a loved one have TB symptoms or think you may have been around someone with TB, it's important that you call your doctor or healthcare provider and get tested. We are seeing more cases of TB, not just in San Diego County, but around the state." She adds that quick action can prevent spread to protect people and our communities. Medicines are available to cure people who are sick with TB and to help prevent people from getting sick if they test positive for TB but do not have symptoms. This is called latent TB infection and means people are infected with TB, but the infection is sleeping and they do not have active TB disease. A chest x-ray can help determine if a person has latent TB. The county operates a TB clinic at the North Central Public Health Center. Public Health Services also offers testing at regional public health centers throughout the county.
The public can no longer provide public comments via phone calls or on Zoom during La Mesa City Council meetings. On February 27th, the council voted to end remote public comments by a 4-1 majority, with Councilman Jack Hsu casting the dissenting vote. Officially, the agenda item cited as justification a memo from the city clerk stating that in the aftermath of COVID, remote public comment is no longer necessary. But the action comes after a barrage of anti-Semitic comments were provided by remote participants at the council's February 13th meeting. During that onslaught, Mayor Marco Rapostathos asked City Attorney Glenn Sabine to address the public. Sabine explained, "Although we may not like the comments of particular groups or individuals, it has to be tolerated because of the First Amendment." Sabine indicated that cutting off offensive callers would violate the Constitution. Councilman Hsu, who cast the sole dissenting vote to keep remote public comments, noted that it's hard to stomach hearing hate speech, but, he added, "I urge the council to not approve this change, stay as we were, and not be intimidated or fear what may happen in the future with regards to public testimony." Hsu noted that council members have the ability to use remote access to participate in council meetings, and so, he said, the public should be given the same ability to participate in our forum in our council meetings remotely. "I would hate for our city to take away that forum." La Mesa is not the only city facing this issue. In recent days, several city councils around the nation have reported similar tactics of remote callers touting hate speech. In Matthews, North Carolina, an artificial intelligence detector was used to determine whether the callers were real people or generated from AI. According to the detector, there's a 97% chance that the voice was artificially generated. But there is a good possibility that the technology to detect AI is not as reliable as the technology that has created it. According to the North Carolina Queen City News, a human voice was tested and reported to have a 78% chance to be artificial when, in fact, it was real. Here in La Mesa, not all of the public comments were anti-Semitic, including attendee Jean Carpenter, who denounced the words he heard during the meeting. "I've heard a lot of stuff tonight that is just so ugly and disgusting and unnecessary," Carpenter said. "This is not how we're going to solve problems." Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice, this is Miriam Raftery.
Our East County Magazine radio show needs volunteers, and so does our award-winning news website at eastcountymagazine.org. If you would like to help write scripts, learn reporting skills, research topics for our news team, or have an on-air voice to be the media, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617.
This is Eberena with a public service announcement from San Diego Gas and Electric. SDG&E has issued a reminder to the public about the importance of calling 811 before you dig. Calling 811 or underground service alert will help avoid possible injury or damage to hidden gas lines or service interruption. Scott Ferguson, Vice President of Gas Operations at SDG&E, states, "Damaging a natural gas line can pose a significant safety risk and disrupt natural gas service. We ask everyone, whether digging at a construction site or at their homes, to make a quick 811 phone call to Underground Service Alert to have utility-owned lines marked for free. Before digging, residents, business owners, and contractors should mark the proposed excavation area and call 811 at least 2 business days before the project is scheduled to begin. Underground Service Alert will contact all local utilities for free to have them locate and mark the underground lines, pipes, and cables they own. For more information about safe digging or to submit an online request, visit digalert.org. If you suspect a gas emergency or have questions regarding a gas odor or carbon monoxide, call SDG&E immediately at 800-411-7343. It's important to keep in mind that natural gas is flammable and that something as simple as a spark can serve as an ignition source. Use your sense of sight, hearing, and smell and any of the following signs to alert you to the presence of a gas leak. Look for the following: dirt or water being blown in the air, dead or dying vegetation over or near pipeline areas, a fire or explosion near a pipeline, exposed pipeline after an earthquake, fire, flood, or other disaster, and bubbles in puddles outdoors after a rain. You should listen for an unusual sound such as a hissing, whistling, or roaring sound near a pipeline, and you should smell for the distinctive odor of natural gas. However, although SDG&E adds a distinctive odor to natural gas to aid in the detection of leaks, you should not rely on your sense of smell alone to determine if you have a gas leak. For more safety information, visit sdge.com/safety.
Now it's time for the Green Scene Report, highlighting energy, environmental, and sustainability issues in our community.
This is John Tidwell with a Green Scene Report. Eager to roll up their sleeves and dig for a greener future, students from the Julian Union School District and SDG&E partnered for a tree planting event on February 29th. The occasion brought together local volunteers from the Iipay Nation of Santa Isabel, Wild Ones San Diego, Julian Pathways, students, teachers, and SDG&E employees with a common purpose: to support biodiversity and help reduce the risk of wildfires. Tree planting is crucial in mitigating the risk and impact of wildfires by creating natural barriers and reducing the spread. The tree planting event at Julian Junior High School signifies a collective effort to promote environmental sustainability, enhance wildfire resilience, and build a more resilient community. Planting trees is a key element of SDG&E's sustainability strategy to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, foster energy innovation and conservation, and encourage employees and communities to take daily action to support a sustainable future for generations to come. Back in 2021, SDG&E set a goal to plant at least 10,000 trees each year in our region and is on track to meet that goal. Last year, SDG&E surpassed its sustainability tree goal, planting more than 1,440 trees throughout the service area.
The January 22nd flooding that ripped through San Diego County, devastating many people's homes and businesses, also inundated the San Diego County Sheriff's Lemon Grove substation, causing heavy damage to the interior. Fortunately, only drywall and other building materials were affected, since all the computers and equipment were relocated to the Rancho San Diego station. Sheriff's staff from Lemon Grove is temporarily operating out of the Rancho San Diego location. Fortunately for local residents, wait times will not be affected, the Sheriff's Department says, since deputies will be dispatched to Lemon Grove immediately after checking in at the Rancho San Diego office. Evidence and other equipment, such as radios and receivers, will be kept there until recovery is completed, with efforts already well underway. Until then, the Lemon Grove office is completely closed. According to the Sheriff's Department, there should be no hindrance for the officers to perform their duties to the community, since the devastation has only caused inconvenience in their scheduling. Residents and businesses that sustained flood damages can visit FEMA centers set up in Spring Valley and San Diego to register for federal relief efforts. Reporting for East County Magazine from Lemon Grove, this is Miriam Raftery.
Immigration is a hot-button issue these days, but people studying to become bilingual teachers at one California university are making an effort to lower the temperature. San Diego State University's Bilingual Credential Program sends prospective teachers on a four-day trip to impoverished schools in Tijuana to help them understand the conditions many of their future students experience. Erica Sandoval from Santa Clarita is in her first year of the program. She migrated to the U.S. herself from Mexico at age 9.
Going back and hearing their stories, some of them having families in the United States, some of them attempting to cross the border, took me back to when my parents made the decision to come to this country as well. It was very emotional, to be honest.
The teachers visit a school in a migrant shelter, one that has a program for students who are blind, and a third that is in one of the city's lowest income neighborhoods. Sandoval says kids may be at school in Tijuana one week and in California the next, so the empathy gained from a cross-border trip can improve teacher effectiveness going forward.
When you're able to connect with them and build that trust with them, there's community with you, and you're able to engage them in what you're teaching them.
Sarah Mahanarash is a lecturer at San Diego State who helps organize the trips. She says the teachers in training are often impressed with the Tijuana kids' behavior, even though they lack yard duties and school supplies are scarce.
There's nobody supervising them on the playground, and they all seem to self-regulate. Or if there's a box of crayons, the kids are sharing with each other. And so they just see that collectivist component of Mexican culture.
She says the program emphasizes respect for the students' culture and helps teachers focus on kids' assets rather than their deficits. Support for this reporting was provided by Lumina Foundation. For California News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
A free press is the foundation of our democracy. KNSJ Radio is dedicated to providing nonprofit news in the public interest, not special interests. We rely on your support to continue bringing you important stories from San Diego and East County that you won't hear anywhere else. Please make a generous donation at knsj.org to sustain KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice.
Supervisors have voted unanimously to ask staff to draft an ordinance to delay the April 10th property tax filing deadline for victims of the January floods that impacted East San Diego communities, as well as Lemon Grove, Spring Valley, and other areas. The action was proposed by Shane Harris, president of the People's Association of Justice Advocates, along with Jordan Marks, the county tax assessor. Harris told supervisors, "Businesses, families, and residents across our region deserve to have the tax clock paused for a moment as they focus on rebuilding their lives and livelihoods." Chairman Nora Vargas and Supervisor Monica Montgomery Stepp put the item on the agenda. Marks, who toured flooded neighborhoods with Harris, said, "I smelled the mold and I saw the damage, which inspired me to work with Shane to figure out how my office could do more." Staff is expected to bring the tax deferral ordinance back to supervisors for a final reading on March 12th. If supervisors approve it on March 12th, then the ordinance will go into effect countywide and allow businesses, homeowners, and others who own damaged properties to apply for a deferral of their property taxes through the county assessor's office. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, your network for social justice, this is John Tidwell.
This concludes today's edition of the East County Magazine radio show. We extend our appreciation to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We extend our appreciation to our sound technician, Jonathan Getz, and to our producer, Miriam Raftery. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Corey Clement, Giovanni Galicia and the Smashing Beats, Wooden Ambulance, Dusty Summer Road, A.K. Jewel, Brian Boyko, Royalty Free Music, Frank Nora, Kevin McLeod, April's Dance from the Smart Sound Solo Simplicity Collection, Turco, Nomads of the Silk Road, Blues 3 Music, and Pond 5. If you would like to underwrite or sponsor the East County Magazine radio show or get involved as a volunteer on our public interest news show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org. We'll be back soon with another edition of the East County Magazine radio show.
This is KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, bringing you public interest news from San Diego's East County.